Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The day of Pentecost, it's always a great celebration for the church. We gather together each year on this day to hear the story of the birth of the church as told in Acts chapter 2. And when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, like the rush of a mighty wind, the tongues of fire dancing on their heads, the people from all nations hearing the message in the voices of their own tongues. 3,000 people baptized in one day during this event. It's an amazing biblical account to hear again, isn't it? The miracle of Pentecost. But don't you wonder a little, just a little, when you hear this account again this year, are we missing something today? After all, I doubt that there's going to be a violent wind or fires dancing on our heads or a miraculous speech coming from this guy. So are we missing something today? Where is the wind? Where is the fire today? Where is that excitement of that first Pentecost? For me, perhaps the better question to ask is, where is the Holy Spirit today? After all, isn't that the point of Pentecost? The point of Pentecost is to give us the Holy Spirit. So the question that we ask today is, where is the Holy Spirit? Not where is the wind and the fire, but where is the Holy Spirit today? And if we ask the question in that way, then we do indeed, in my opinion, have a pretty exciting answer to share with people. Because the Holy Spirit is without a doubt here with us today. We just witnessed the miracle. And He is here in very amazing and powerful ways. So what I want to do this morning is share just three ways in which the Holy Spirit is present with us today. And the first, the Holy Spirit is present here, and it comes to us today through God's Word. You've already heard it read at the lectern. You're going to hear it preached to you right now. It's the divinely inspired, faith-producing, life-changing Word of God. Yes, it's the Bible. It connects us to all Christians, going all the way back to that very first Pentecost. And it connects us to God, who inspired and guided every word of the Bible. And of course, not just any word will do. Think about that, right? We can pound on our steering wheel and shout at the red light to turn green, and it won't obey our voice. We can shake our fist at the referee on TV or in purpose, and, you know, they're not going to change their call even after that wonderfully crafted insult. As nice as it may be when we're sitting at our desk or in our room or in our house or maybe in our garage, our homes or places like that, they don't spontaneously begin to clean themselves when we yell out, "Be clean!" Dear friends, when we speak, things don't happen the way we want. God's Word, on the other hand, though, is quite different. God's Word is living. God's Word is active. God's Word is a two-edged sword of both law and gospel. God's Word kills, God's Word makes alive. God's Word creates life out of nothing. God's Word is a lamp to our feet. God's Word is a light to our path. And when God speaks through that Word, things happen. We see the miracles of Jesus. He's the Word who became flesh. He spoke and the lame walked, the blind saw, the wind and the waves obeyed. The dead rose from the dead. Sins are forgiven. And then I think about at the beginning, right at Genesis, we hear God's creative word spoken, "Let there be light." And what happened? It was so. The same Holy Spirit who inspired Peter to preach that first Pentecost sermon is with us here today as we hear again those ancient words. Those who heard Peter that day heard it in their own language, just as we do. We're hearing it in English today. Isn't that amazing? The Pentecost miracle, it continues, and through the Word of God proclaimed here and around the world, the Holy Spirit continues to spread the power into the hearts of listeners, producing faith, trust in God. The view of the Holy Spirit emphasizes the Spirit's work through the single voice of the sacred scriptures, God's Word, the Bible. And it's that way to promote unity, order, clarity, and certainty, both in our hearts and in the church. This is in contrast, I want to share with you, in this chaotic world, this mess that we live in, the mess of thoughts, the mess of emotions, the mess of institutions that are going to mislead us, creating confusion, creating disorder, creating uncertainty within our hearts, minds, and soul. So by understanding that the Spirit communicates through the Scripture, dear friends, we Christians then can build lives upon a solid foundation. And that solid foundation is what comes from God and His Word, you see. Where is the Holy Spirit today? Well, the second way that the Holy Spirit comes to us today is through the called and the gathered congregation, through this body as we gather together, and people that are gathering together all over the world, right? It's called the church. Martin Luther put it this way in the Small Catechism. There he is. That probably straightened you up a little bit when his picture flashed on the screen up there of Martin Luther. But he said this in the Small Catechism. The words are going to roll. There they are. He wrote, "The Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith." And in the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. And when Luther specifies the gospel as the means by which the Holy Spirit works, we again notice that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, binds himself to the Word of God. Not to human experience, but to the Word of God. In this, it echoes Jesus, who said this, it's popping up on the screen, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he, the Spirit, will guide you into all truth. For he, the Spirit, will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he, the Spirit, hears, he will speak. And the Spirit will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." And the Apostle Paul says this then, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ." And then I got caught up in the verbs of Luther's Small Catechism explanation, because it tells us, I think, so much about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit in that small blurb of the explanation. First, the Holy Spirit's work is to call us, right? To call us to faith by the gospel. No one, dear friends, can come to Jesus Christ on their own. It ain't going to happen. You could sooner believe that the sky is neon green than you could believe in the truth of the gospel without the Spirit first calling you to faith. On the screen, 2 Thessalonians 2:14. "To this he called you through our gospel," Paul writes, "so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Spirit also gathers us into the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the body of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "But you are a chosen people, you are a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation, you are God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." See, he enlightens dead hearts. He makes blind eyes see and to recognize the crucified and risen Savior. Again on the screen, 2 Corinthians 4:6. "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." And then finally, these verbs in this explanation by Luther, the final one is sanctified. The Spirit sanctifies us. The Spirit makes us holy. Sanctification is a, if you will, a wider sense that refers to the entire work of the Holy Spirit, from creating faith in us to helping us maintain that faith in a devout life and to bring us to the resurrection and eternal life. So this leading of faith is usually accomplished by the Spirit's work that we witnessed just a while ago in baptism. when the water and the word come together to wash us clean from sin, unite us to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says this on the screen, "But you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." The Pentecost miracle happened to the apostles when they were all together. Something to think about. It happened when the Jews from every nation, it says in Acts chapter 2, were gathered together for Passover. I don't think it's a coincidence that the disciples were gathered together. The Jews from all the nations were gathered together. The Holy Spirit likes us when we're together. Something important happens when we are together, dear friends. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is present as we gather in His name, which we do whenever we worship together. The Holy Spirit comes to us. He can come to us when we're alone, there's no doubt. God is God. He can do whatever He wants. But the Scriptures teach us that coming together in Jesus' name is the best way to discover the Holy Spirit among us. And we come together in Jesus' name. There's another way, the third way and the final way that the Holy Spirit comes to us, and that's through the Holy Sacraments. Peter finished his sermon on that first Pentecost, and those who heard it, the Jews, said, "Brother," you can see it up on the screen, "brother, what should we do?" And Peter responded, "Repent and be baptized." And then I skipped some verses, but it ends with, "And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, not through wind, not through fire, but through holy baptism. And it's baptism that we too first receive the Spirit of God. And right after those who heard Peter's sermon and were baptized, what did they do then? Up on the screen, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. In other words, dear friends, they gathered together as a community to hear God's word, to pray, and to celebrate the Lord's Supper, just like we're doing. That's where the miracle of Pentecost continued to be enjoyed and realized in the church then and today, now. So when we gather in the name of Jesus, we too, as we remember our baptisms, devote ourselves to the apostles' teachings. That's why you're here, and we're going to break bread, not this service, but next. And we're definitely praying together. We may not have wind and fire today, dear friends, but we are here gathered in the name of Jesus, doing those very same things that the church did that very first Pentecost. And that means the Holy Spirit is present among us, just as it was then. It's always tempting to think we need more. We need more excitement. We need more enthusiasm. We need more emotion. We need more wind and fire here on Sunday morning. But as I see it, us Lutherans anyway, we are at our best when we refuse to believe that the church needs anything more than the Word of God, you all gather together, the congregation, the church, and the sacraments. Because we believe, we teach, we confess that it is through those means of grace that God gives us all that we need for salvation. The point of Pentecost isn't the wind, it's not the fire, it never was. The point of Pentecost is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who comes and gives all the gifts of God that we need for life and salvation. So, if the point of Pentecost is the gift of the Holy Spirit, then the result of Pentecost is sharing that good news of Jesus Christ with all nations. That's our mission. That's ours. Do you remember what Jesus said right before the Pentecost miracle, before He ascended up into heaven? Well, it's on the screen. He said, "You will receive power." You're going to receive dynamite-like power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And here we are, dear friends, at the end of the earth, wouldn't you say? South Dakota? You have everything you need to go and share the gospel Everything you need to be the church, the body of Christ, in this world, wherever you find yourself in the journey of life today, you got the power to share the message. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the good news of Jesus within you. But how, Pastor? How do I share the message in a world today? Well, by telling everyone you know where to go to receive all of God's promises. That's all you got to say. I know where to go to receive all of God's promises. Want to know? Because the places where miraculously each and every Sunday the Spirit comes again and again and again to those gathered in the name of Jesus Christ through that great and awesome miracle of hearing God's word. You know where everyone can go to receive forgiveness, salvation, true and eternal abundant life. You know where they can go to fill that God-shaped hole that all of us have in our soul. You know the place to go where everyone can find true joy and meaning and blessedness. The place is here today as we celebrate the birthday of the church. But I guarantee you there won't be any violent wind. There's not going to be any fire today. At least I hope not. If there is, we're in trouble. But we're not here for fire. We're not here for wind. We're here to worship the God behind the fire and the wind. And we give thanks to God for His only Son who died for us to forgive us. And we are here to receive that promise, Holy Spirit, to unite us to God in ways that are beyond our imagination, dear friends. The church has changed nothing in all the years. We're here for this very same reason the church gathered long ago, that we may respond to the gift of the Holy Spirit who enlightens us and draws us to this place to receive Jesus Christ through the means of grace. Pentecost is this yearly reminder that the Spirit exists and that the Spirit existed long ago, okay? Its full manifestation, though, awaited the glorified Jesus. You know, He had to die. He had to rise. He had to spend time with His disciples on earth. He had to send 40 days later. And Pentecost happens 50 days later. And that's the sending of the Holy Spirit. So He dies, He ascends, He sends the Spirit, and He sends it for you. And by the grace of God, you're going to leave this sanctuary today resting in God's peace. You're going to have God's word in your heads and on your tongues. You're going to have God's love right there in your hearts. And you're going to be ready to share the good news and do the good works that God has prepared for us in advance. Happy birthday, church. That's our mission. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the Pentecost of our Holy Spirit. Amen.